Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Your And Who Would Have Heard podcast. I am super, super, super excited about this episode because we're talking about shadow work. And my guest this episode is Corey Wu, aka Corey KW. You can find her on Instagram. And she does have I'll post a link in the show notes with her website on it that you can reach out for. She does charts, she does tarot card readings. She's amazing. So we are looking at, as I said, shadow work and what it means, how to do shadow work. It's something that I realized it's very individual. It's really individual. So I hope this helps. It opened up so many doors and thought processes. This recording ended up being an hour and a half, and I whittled it down, I think, to 45 minutes. So I really, really, really hope you enjoyed it. I had so much fun with it, and I'm hoping to have her back. So let's go. Let's go and get some peace, power, love, and truth. Hey, Intuitive Hearts, welcome to another episode of Your Intuitive Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Alfred, and today I'm with Corey Wu. She is an astrologer, tarot card reader, and all-around amazing person. Today we're talking about shadow work. I saw a post that she put up, and it resonated. It resonated because I feel like these are the times and this last year and a half where we've really had to look inward and do some soul searching. So why not do something about shadow work? I've had a lot of people come and ask me how to do it. I kind of just threw things out there that I thought is how it should be done. But speaking to Corey, we're going to find out what resonates with you and what it means to actually do shadow work. So welcome, Corey.
Hi, everyone. I'm Corey. Nice to meet you, Joanne.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on. Okay.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
Yeah, I reached out because I love your stuff. Not only that, you don't see a lot of, like, and maybe this is just me, but Black astrologers, you know what I mean? It's connecting with your people. And what struck me was the post. I don't know if I saved it, but it was your August 7th post about shadow work. I wanted to talk to you about shadow work.
No problem. Do you mind if I take a look at the post?
Of course.
Just because sometimes I'm just, you know, going off the cuff and thinking about my own experiences. And then I'm like, okay, is anybody else? Hello.
Yeah. No, it's true. And that's what, so I think at the time you posted, it was about, I think the new moon was in Leo. And it just made so much sense at the time. And I thought, you know what, this is really good. This is really good for people to see and hear. And just to delve into that, because just the other day, someone asked me about how to do shadow work. And I think there's a misunderstanding about what it is.
So for me, shadow work came about obviously at a rough period in your life because, you know, you typically discover it when you have need for it, you know?
Yeah.
I was soul seeking after, you know, difficulties in relationships, in reaching my own goals, in learning to build relationships, maintain relationships, self-care. It felt like I was kind of losing myself. And so
yes.
For me, astrology was always a passion of mine, but I hadn't really organized my knowledge or my study. I was just sort of delving into it. Because I'm a self-absorbed Leo.
really? Is that such a thing?
but also because everything I read didn't really resonate with me. Definitely not liking to be the center of attention. You know, being very watery.
Yes.
Emotional, very caught up in my emotions and picking up the emotions of those around me. And so I just wanted to know why. And I had all these theories that were eventually disproven by my reading. And my study of astrology led me into shadow work, learning about how Carl Jung studied astrology and alchemy, and then going, what is that? You know, just my own curiosity just sort of led me into this self exploration and self-reflection. And then I was like, okay, so some of this is working for me. It's starting to make sense. The deeper I go into it, the more sense it makes to me and the more I resonate with it. Mm. And wanting to share that with people, you know what I mean? Because when I started reading my horoscopes, it was making me more and more of skeptical of astrology over time because I didn't resonate with it. And that's part of your shadow work too. Like, I can't deny that I am very much lion-like. But why I didn't feel that about my own self, you know what I mean? Why I couldn't see that, why I was so adamant of, you know, not owning that part of myself. And I think it's more important for people to see,
you know, Jungian theory or Jungian, is part of this shadow work. I think he actually penned the phrase, correct?
To my knowledge, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And I, of course, haven't read everything by him, but he basically described the shadow as the parts of ourselves, both positive and negative, that we repress or reject because of external responses and because of conditioned ways of seeing ourselves and responding to the external world.
Right.
And so shadow work is the our efforts to recover those parts of ourselves, because we tend to project them on the outside world. And so checking our reactions to the things going on around us and those traits and experiences that we automatically assign to something outside us, and looking for how they resonate within us, how that can be a part of us, you know, what part of us is resonant with those things that we see outside us and feel separate from or isolated from. So for example, my thing is always, ulterior motives. That's like my biggest trigger. The idea that, I'm amongst people and I can't discern what they want from me, how they really see me or feel about me, etc. And so obviously that can be problematic because you sense something and you don't know what it is, and you automatically take it personally, you know, a facial expression, you know, when you know how when you're speaking to someone and you can tell they have something to say, but or you feel that they have something to say but they
and they're holding back. Yeah.
It's like I can't even hear what you're saying because what you're not saying is like the only thing that I can hear. And then I got to writing and journaling about how often I keep my personal thoughts and feelings to myself and why I do that. And it was as simple as saying, you know, A, I could be needlessly offensive by making an observation that is totally unrelated to what's going on in the room. That happens very often. Or just totally unrelated, you know, and disconnected from what's happening. But also sometimes it's just personal, you know what I mean? It's something going on within me and it has nothing to do with what's happening. And so there is no reason for it to be said. Just little things like that make you check your habits and your reactions to the external world. When you can put yourself in the shoes of the people that you're dealing with, that's like almost the basis of shadow work.
Okay.
It goes deeper when you're projecting things like emotions, like jealousy, like anger. I think they're mad at me, you know. Also positive traits, people that you admire. They're attracted to you for a reason. That's how energetics works, you know.
Right.
So when you come across somebody or you're engaging with somebody that you admire, you try to find those traits within yourself. How can you embody them better? And it does feel awkward at first, just trying to reconnect with those parts of yourself, or your inner child, you know, the person that you are when you have no expectations of judgment or punishment or abuse, just first expressing yourself openly.
You're who you are. Yes.
After my long-winded ramble, shadow work for me is just getting back in touch with that part of ourself that is open to the connection that we have with the outside world, because you can close yourself off when you deny parts of yourself from experiences that you need to grow and evolve.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's brilliant. That long-winded rant was brilliant. Because again, this is the thing that people don't really understand what it is. They think it's like working with the darker side, quote unquote, because it's shadow, darker side. But, and again, my understanding of it, and I think you clarified it, was, you know, hearing as a child that you did something wrong, so you're a bad person. So then as you get older and someone doesn't like you, or for whatever reason, or they don't, like you said, they may not, you know, you don't connect in that way. Is it because I'm a bad person? So it's that kind of thought process that comes up again, and then that creates you shutting down. So you talked about the ulterior motive, which makes me question, I wonder, did you think that I had an ulterior motive asking you to do the podcast? Like, did it go there for you too?
No, not at all. It's more like it's every empath or somebody who is in emotion at all connected with the energy going around in their external environment, right? Okay. So when something changes, it's like you can feel the energy as an empath, you can feel that it changes, or somebody who is empathic, or you notice it, or you observe a change in your physical environment. And for me, it's always, is it me? You know, have I caused
the shift?
Right. What is it? And is it me? And it's like I fixate on it until there's like some obvious answer to my problem. And that's also how shadow work works. Typically, right. When you're triggered by something, it's bringing up something with you that you need to explore. But if I'm fixated externally, then I'm not looking at what I need to, what is it that's triggering me? Like, do these people have a right to continue to switch up whenever they feel like it and not say anything? Like, how dare you?
Right.
You know? So yeah, just journaling on those feelings and why you feel the way that you feel, and how often does your own energy switch up throughout the day with no and you offer no explanation to the world around you? You know, it's just taking a look at myself and going, okay, under what circumstances have I been the perpetuator of this kind of dynamic? And for what reason? And just recognizing that it's all, you know, that you're just as much a part of the, you know, the collective as anyone, that you have the same experiences, even when you feel misunderstood,
right.
Even when, you know, you can't quite put your finger on it or define it in any logical term. It's all one universal experience. When you connect yourself to it, you feel less disconnected. When you see yourself in it, you're less likely to be reactive to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's brilliant. Okay. So the next question is, and we may have touched upon this a little bit, how does one go about accessing that and really doing that work? So from what you said, it can be in the moment where you kind of stand back and say, okay, wait a second, why did I respond like that? But my feeling is it's also like it's constant work, right? I feel like it's constant work. How do you do shadow work?
Now that's personal and individual. For me, I use journaling, tarot,
okay.
Astrology. I like to read on subjects like shadow work. What is the shadow symbolism?
Mm-hmm.
Story, I think, is important too. People like Joseph Campbell tell you the importance of myth and things like that. So reading like parables, I love fiction. That's like
okay.
My biggest escape.
Me too. Yeah.
But it's, you learn so much just from reading a story about yourself, about other people, about it makes you reflect on situations that you think of. My family has this going joke about me being obsessed with the Harry Potter books as a teen. And it's like, it had nothing to do with the magic. I mean, yes, That's the obvious surface attraction. But when you read about the characters, you relate to them despite the fact that you have no connection with that kind of, you know what I mean, experience. Yes. You've never been in a shrinking house. You know, you've never walked up a stair that shifts. But at the same time, you're like, oh my God, he's just like me.
Yes.
Like, you know, so it's, and that's just what shadow work is. It's looking at something outside yourself and recognizing that you can, in fact, be just like that. You know what I mean? And deciding who you want to be at any given time with the recognition that you can be all of those things that you experience externally. So, okay.
That's great. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
That's why you need to write.
That is why you need to write. That's brilliant. So Joseph Campbell, can we just elaborate a little bit on who he is, who he was?
Oh, my first introduction to him was somebody recommended a book to me, As a Man Thinketh.
Mm.
And I still have
so he becomes yes skim
through it, but when I saw that he wrote The Power of Myth, I immediately was like sitting in a bookstore deep into how, you know, it attracted me because fiction is my biggest escape.
Mm.
How stories are healing, how stories help us change our minds about things, how writing our own story, for example, in symbolic terms can help us deal with it at a deeper level, at a subconscious level.
Right.
He talks about different archetypes. Well, he doesn't call them that. That's a Jungian term, obviously.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
He talks about how to connect with different myths. So for example, in astrology, you have Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, you know, you have the planets, and mm-hmm. they all have archetypes.
Their own story.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. They all have, and they all relate to, for example, Greek gods, Egyptian gods and goddesses.
And Roman gods, yeah.
And when you look at it, you recognize that across cultures, we have these similar archetypes and what kind of energy you want to connect with. And all of these potentials are represented in a birth chart, and you can explore them at will and use them, you know what I mean, because of the energy given by other people's attention. So that gets all the way into like quantum physics, but that's a whole,
that's a whole different story. That's another podcast.
Right, but yeah, right. So he talks about basically how you can use story to change, to grow, to evolve, to find an understanding of self and, you know, the world around you, like the Bible, Harry Potter, Aesop's Fables.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
things
yes.
that have stood the test of time because of their impact on the way we live our lives. So
that's cool. For me, it would be the Marvel comics. Everybody knows me as being like a comic book fiend. So for me, it would be that stuff. And it's true how you can't climb walls. However, you feel like you could do it. And then on some level, we do climb walls. On some level, we overcome things. We do things that we never thought possible. And that's a lot of what those stories are about, right? Finding the hero, finding the hero within, finding the strength within, you know, you're pushed to a limit. And this is one of those things where I think a lot of us don't recognize that we have that power. You are pushed to a limit to do something outside of your comfort zone. And you think, I can't. But suddenly getting through a significant loss. So, or getting through just shit, man, getting through COVID. Like, this is superhero kind of energy. And a lot of those, yeah, I'm rambling now, but a lot of those heroes in those stories, modern day, like, we are those people. We are the ones that climb the walls. We are the ones that, you know, fly through the air and save others. We are those. It's we have to really appreciate that about ourselves. We think we're ordinary. It's like you and I speaking. I feel everybody has a gift, right? It may not be as obvious as reading tarot or doing astrology or conversation. Everybody has a gift, but not everybody is tuned into that yet. We all have something that we come with. We are all like these superheroes. And I think in order to connect with that superhero, it really does come from like your base level. Okay, what is the stuff that's stopping me? So looking at the shadow, as you say, fear, that sense of like, I'm the bad person. So again, that stops you from getting somewhere. Like, I can't possibly do it because I can't deserve it. I don't deserve it, for instance, right? Because innately I'm bad. I was always told that I could not have anything because I was nothing. And I'm not saying me, it was, but you know, people who feel that. My parents were very supportive, thankfully. But there's still this stuff within you that says, no, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. So looking at the fear, looking at why you have that, yes, that is the shadow work. I love that bit with the story. I never really connected it to that before, but it makes sense.
And two, as you were telling me about the X-Men, one of the other connections I was making was how the powers and the strengths that we discover over time with from ourselves are often rooted in the pains and
difficulties
that we have experienced. And so taking a look at it and really like being honest with yourself about, you know, how much of that is coming from outside and how much of that is coming from limited beliefs that you've allowed within yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, just in some way putting it out there for yourself to look at without any judgment, just for what it is, like, and you find sometimes how it's like putting something in the air almost dispels the illusion just by saying it out loud.
Yep.
Like you say it out loud and then you're like, that makes absolutely no sense.
No sense.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it can't be true because it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. What really is all bad? You know, every villain has a backstory. Like every hero has made a mistake that has hurt someone else.
Right.
It's being able to see both of those things within yourself at the same time and be able to pat yourself on the back and teach yourself a lesson at the same time is basically what shadow work is all about. You know, you can move forward when you accept what is.
Accept yourself as the whole, exactly. Side. So I think a lot of people tend to push away this, obviously, the side that's fearful, the side that's angry, the side that's bitter. You cannot push. It is really about accepting yourself as the whole. And the same way we nurture the best of ourselves, we also need to carry, and I don't want to say the worst, we need to nurture or care for the other side of ourselves so that there isn't this, I guess, divide, or do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. It's about, acknowledgement. Just because I made a mistake does not make me a bad person.
Excellent.
Like you were saying before.
Yeah.
Just because I'm angry doesn't make me a bad person.
Mm.
And asking yourself questions. How did I learn to equate those things, my mistakes with my identity? How do I equate my feelings? You know, because for me, it's like I'm always emotional. I always feel my emotions. And so I, over time, learned to identify with being emotional as like a label. But that's really just a personality trait. It's not all of who I am.
Absolutely.
And I can be just as detached as I can be emotional. When you sit there and you go, okay, and how many times have I absolutely not cared one bit about something? Perfectly capable of being detached. So weighing up both sides and seeing the value in both.
Absolutely.
There's value in the things that we wish to reject about ourselves. They tell us, our anger tells us that we have been violated. Our sadness is how we acknowledge that we have lost something or someone, you know, part of ourselves.
Yes. I have goosebumps, lady. I have goosebumps. Okay, so you say you use tarot And I understand that piece too, but for people who maybe don't, how do you connect the tarot with doing the shadow work? So is it a certain spread that you lay out? Are you asking questions and then a card comes forward? And then also, how did you get into tarot?
So I was a young teen. I was into the occult. I liked reading witchy stories and magical beings, and everything whimsical and seemingly impossible was right up my alley, still is to this day. So tarot was something that I was just curious about, and my mom absolutely, my mom's family is traditionally Catholic, so she was like, no. And that sent me down the rabbit hole. Just telling, you know, I'm a qualifier, so I'm telling me no is the quickest way to get me to do something. So at the time, I had a mentor from Big Brother, Big Sister, and she was totally with it. She bought me a tarot deck. I hid it for years. Like, nobody even knew I knew anything about tarot until I was like 20. I was in my 20s. Because I had to, you know, I couldn't be caught with that deck. It was not going to go right.
No, my household, same thing. Yep.
I'd taped a poster on the outside of my tarot book and started taking notes and doing
research.
Yeah, it was deep. So eventually I got to the point where I had journaled enough and I felt comfortable enough with what I was finding for myself to start looking into like the symbols in tarot. So they tell you about the colors, they tell you about the earth, wind, fire, and water and how they apply. And because at first I was kind of like just pulling cards and sort of guessing what they meant and writing it down if it came true, you know, trying to do fortune telling. Right. And then I started going, well, maybe there's more to it that I can learn, and looking into different books. The New Complete Tarot was one of the books that first told, it made the connection between alchemy and the tarot deck and self-transformation. And I was like, okay, well, I started just, you know, exploring everything I could find and realizing that it was more a tool of getting in, you know what I mean, making the unconscious conscious within yourself. How do I relate to this? What's going on in my life where I'm embodying this energy or attracting this energy, and how can I work with it? You know, it's about asking questions of yourself and allowing yourself to answer. And I find it valuable because there are cards that you're not going to relate with.
Right.
There are decks that you're not going to relate with. There are certain energies that you just don't resonate with, but the idea is that the entire deck is a part of you. Those are universal energies and experiences and day-to-day lives that or day-to-day events that we all at some point experience. And for me, that's a tool of uncovering shadow work. Where do I see this in the outside world, and why do I feel a disconnect from that energy? You know, asking yourself those questions. I think stream of conscious writing is probably, aside from reading fantasy novels, one of my favorite tools for shadow work, because just allowing yourself to say whatever comes out without any censorship or editing in a safe space, and just looking at what comes out, will teach you so much about what you think you don't know about yourself. You know, and for me, tarot just kind of, I guess, organizes it. You know, you have your elements. It organizes, you know, your practical endeavors, your physical needs, your material needs, it's all these different aspects of ourselves and how they interact with each other, and exploring that. And I think that, sure, for somebody who has an intuitive gift, reading for somebody else or getting a reading from somebody else is fun, entertaining, but nobody can really tell you about you like you can. And so learning the deck and using it for yourself, I think, is the most valuable way to work with it. So trying to expose how I work with the deck is mostly my goal in doing tarot.
Okay. So do you have, so for me, I used to have a deck specifically for myself. And then I had a deck that I would use for others. I have more recently come to use that deck. It's the Witch's Tarot, which I now use for everyone. Or I shouldn't say for everyone. It is, I mean, you know, you pick which you think is, it's the deck that's going to work for everybody, or for that particular person, I should say. So I used to have a deck. I don't so much have a personal deck anymore, although I'm looking to find a new one. Is that how you work too? Do you have your own? And then, how do you do it?
And I guess, I don't know if that's a superstition. For me, it's just how I understand that energy works. If somebody's focusing their attention, then I would just basically be the translator.
Yep.
But with this deck, and I did bring it just because I don't let people touch it. The idea of somebody touching it just upsets me. because I've been working with it's the deck that I taught myself tarot on. And so I guess I have like its sentimental value, but it's also like I don't want any interference with the messages.
It's that I'm the energy. Exactly. Yep. So, yep. That's wild.
And that's the only one that I don't let people touch. I do read for others with it, though.
Which deck do you have? Which is that one?
The old Dirty Rider-Waite deck.
Yeah. Which is, one of the best decks to learn on. I actually didn't learn on the Rider-Waite tarot. I learned on another one. I can't even remember what it is. But it's foundational as a deck. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. I do like the Thoth deck. I like the wealth of information that surrounds the deck.
Yes.
I think, though, that it's definitely an advanced deck as far as reading the tarot. I would probably start with Rider-Waite or something along those lines, or with similar imagery.
Imagery, yeah.
Because the cards interact with each other and the relationships are a little bit obvious. It's like with Norman, they're looking in this direction or this direction. That sort of deal.
The Thoth deck, I'm not going to lie, it has always intimidated me because the imagery is so intense, right? I feel like that is the deck that really gets you looking like inner soul shit that you're not going to, it's not the fluffy deck, it's the one that's going to make you work for it.
Yeah.
So that one always intimidated me. It's been a long time since I've actually reached out and use that one. So I wonder how I'd respond, because earlier on I couldn't. So I've been doing it for 20 years, maybe 22 years. That was, in the beginning I needed the fluffy stuff because like I said, that one's harsh or more real, I guess. And then the other one, I don't know if you use this one, it's the archetype type deck. A girlfriend had given it to me. And the imagery in this one, again, is very powerful. But the cards, very much like the Thoth, deck. The cards are a little bit bigger. They're round instead of square. So they look like coasters. You haven't seen this one? It's called, like I said, the Archetype. The Wild Unknown. Archetypes Kim Kranz is the person who does it, who has created these. So you know them?
I cannot even say. I'm like, okay. The imagery is so, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, just describe the, I'm talking myself through each reading. Like, yes. Describe the picture to yourself. It's a horse and he's got five, okay. It's really simple stuff. He's got five cups, and one of the cups is broken. Okay. Like I'm describing myself and I'm like, but why does it hurt so bad? And it's like this reminder that I'm this horse. Okay. Relax. Like, okay.
Yes.
So I put the deck down and finally I'm like, you know what? I've taken that book to the, I've gifted one. I've taken one to the bookstore and sold it. Like,
wow.
One I actually lost. Kid you not, I don't know what happened to it to this day. Maybe one day I'll be ready for that one, but
this would be my equivalent of the Thoth. I think I've tried to I get that once and probably had to give it away because wasn't ready. Yeah. And this one I have to admit, there are days where I'm not ready, but it's again, it is that deeper like energy, soul work. It's almost as though it literally is holding the mirror in front of you. You get me? Like, it's just, like you said, why does it hurt so much? It's like, damn, you're right. It's cutthroat. Celtic Dragon deck. I work with that one a lot. I probably probably that's one of my longest decks. There's an Italian tarot, but it's not called Italian tarot, I guess. Oh, the other thing, sorry, do you use crystals in your work when you're doing your shadow work?
I don't. Okay. I have crystals. There are crystals that I love and that I actually resonate with when I'm carrying them, but I don't know how to consciously work with crystals. I've got books that I've started reading and not completed. At this point, it's like if I'm attracted to something, I assume that eventually, you know, I'll get around to working with it when it's
right.
time.
Right.
I'm a big believer in synchronicity. So I do have quite a few crystals. I find them randomly. Shout out TJ Maxx. They have like gigantic crystals for really cheap if you just walk through Home Goods aisles. Yes. Oh, I kid you not. I have to show you this. Give me just a second.
Okay.
Because I got it for like $15 and you won't believe how big it is.
It's about being protective being protected. So a lot of us shield after shield after shield after shield on top of us in order to protect that soft side that can be seen. That there's nothing wrong when you expose that side of yourself. There's nothing wrong with it. It's actually probably one of the most beautiful parts of yourself. But we think it shouldn't be seen because it's you know, you can't be angry with your kids. Even spiritual, like being spiritual. I have a girlfriend that's, you know, she's tired of the light and fluffy, or there are days.
Amen. Same.
You know, there are days, and that's Miss Tammy Remington. Everybody's, and she's very hardcore. She's very hardcore. I like the way she operates and the way she thinks, the way she works spiritually, because she's not about to, you know, coddle you. And, you know, if you're going to do the hardcore work, there's going to be shit that you don't want to hear. Stuff that, because you have worked to hide that stuff because you feel so uncomfortable with it. So a lot of times, you know, we think that spirituality is love and light, sunshine and rainbows and butterflies. But no, a lot of times it's darkness. A lot of times it's like challenging. A lot of times, so if you lose your crap for some small, whatever, a small situation, or it's still, it doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're not, it doesn't mean... Yes, it just means, I mean, we forget. Say that again.
Trying or making progress.
Making progress. It just means that we're still, like, we are humans. We are very real and we can't live that. It's about balance. We cannot, it's not always possible to be the love and light. It is not always possible to be it. And exactly, it's not healthy. I'm very weary about those people. And I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but recognize that they're also dealing with that stuff. Like, we're constantly working to, again, balance those energies. Or the picture they're giving me is to bring those two parts together, right? You don't come back and you're still that person, right? So
right, and you recognize yourself every time you lose it. Sometimes you do. There were times when you did that unconsciously. You had no idea where it was coming from, and you get to a place if you're really working on yourself spiritually, you get to a place where, sure, we all lapse. None of us are perfect. Lord knows I am hyper reactive to everything, it seems like. How many times lately, compared to a year or 2 years or 5 years ago, have I overreacted? And how many times have I been prepared to react in that same way that I normally would towards the same trigger? And said, you know what? Let me go grab a cup of tea and mind my you know what I mean? And mind my business and light a candle and read me a fantasy novel, because this is not worth it. Like, it's just not worth it. And then the next week I might be triggered in the very same way. But I got right back to it. You know what I mean? I got back to what I know is going to anchor me in my, you know, back into myself. You know, when we keep returning to ourselves, it's like you feel safer and safer the more you do it.
That is so true. And again, in this period, I don't think a lot of us have gotten back to ourselves. we were forced to. But then also, I think at the same time, not knowing how to get back to yourself, right? So it's created that, so you're so busy building stuff that didn't matter, if this makes sense. So focused on career, so focused on this, so focused on that, that we became consumed. This is just my take on it. Become consumed. You become consumed with the outside stuff so that you forget the inside stuff, because so many of us walk with pain, walk with angst, walk with an insecurity, or just even, you know, you talk about the relationships that busted up over COVID, because they would have, because you were so busy focused on something else. It's like, you know, okay, it'll be fine. I'll just get through it. But then when you have nothing else, again, to protect you from that facade, you're like, wow, I can't just get through it.
And you have to look at your why.
You have to look at your why, man. You have to look at your why. Agreed. Agreed. So that.
That's right there. I was with my mom during COVID. So I'm 35. Anybody near my age group is going, you were in the house with your mom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm like,
prayers for you. Yes.
If I had kids, I don't know what.
Listen.
I had to sit and go, how many times are you going to react to this and have the same conversation with yourself every day? How much control am I going to allow the story that I tell myself about myself and this person to control progress? Like, I literally have nothing but time. Like, I have all these things that I would like to do. And why can't you focus on that? Like, I had to ask myself all these questions during COVID. And what else am I getting distracted by? Managing people's reactions.
Yes. Damn.
So that was my work during COVID. And now I'm like in my house alone. And I find myself still reacting to those same stories going in my head. But only now I have time to use that information. Like, okay, I'm by myself now. So there's no finger pointing that I can do. Let's get back into the shadow work. You know, what are we reacting to? What is it? What is this dynamic telling me about myself that keeps coming up for me to look at in my solitude when I want to be journaling and reading astrology books and the 50,000 crystal books that I have sitting on my shelf? You know, like, and what limiting beliefs am I still holding on to that keep me from engaging those things that I really, really want? That
yes.
I really, really resonate, that I realize are available to me at any given time. Why is the story I'm telling myself about what's going on here more important than the story that I want to engage in over here? Like, why is this a hypothetical in this reality? You know, I think the questions sometimes are more important than the answers. Just thinking on it and be aware of it is sometimes more important than even getting at a definitive answer.
So for me, I've been looking to transition out of my workplace and make this my full-time gig. And it's something that I just turn over in my head all the time, because I know that the other piece makes more sense, right? The direction that I want to go in at this point makes so much more sense. It is like leaving the old self and moving to the new. You don't know that you can be that new person. So the old self is so much more comfortable. The old self appears to have shit figured out, when really that's not the case.
Okay, so the reason I said that was because I'm having a similar... But I know exactly what my limiting belief is. And that's been part of my journaling. I realized that the limiting belief that holds me to my mom's story is the same limiting belief that's keeping me from joining that. And that's, you expect too much out of life. Like the idea that I could live abundantly by talking about the stars and the crystals, you know, and the cards. And enjoy it and find other people who are totally with the stars. Mm. And even though you're sitting here and we're talking about it and it's happening, it's like, okay, but this is just one of those things, you know, that happens on the internet. You know, you have all these ways of like distancing yourself from what you're yes. already doing it. The imposter syndrome is so
yes,
real.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's like, okay, but nothing's going to come of it. You know what I mean? You have those little inklings. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it regardless. Like, I know that it can be done because I'm watching it happen. And if I trust nothing else, I trust my feeling. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I've learned to trust in it. There's value in being emotional, even though it was too sensitive way back when, you know. There's value in all those stories that we tell ourselves about. And there's even value in the limiting belief to a degree. It kept you safe, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It kept you from jumping off the cliff and thinking you could fly. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that some of the things that come to you, you can't trust in.
Oh my gosh. This has been the best. This has been like one of the best podcasts ever. I do have a lot of editing to do. So tell us where people can find you, please.
Oh, k-woo.com. I am accepting readings requests, but
okay.
I would prefer to have conversations more like this. It's for me, my website is more like, okay, here's what I get from the cards. You know what I mean? Here's why I get it. It's a vulnerable spot because it's me doing the work for other people to see how you do the work.
Okay.
And my hope is that people who come and ask for readings for me are ready to ask questions together and find answers together. So
I really like that approach. It is giving, you're empowering people. You know, we're doing this together. So you are going to learn from how I do so that you can figure this out also.
Really hoped you enjoyed that. And if there's anything you want to hear that you would like to hear, you want to be on the podcast, I'm open. You have something to share, I'm open to have you on. I'm all for it.